Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Welcome back, folks, to our show today, Spirituality and Business. Boy, we got a show for you today. I mean, talking about numbers, I mean, if you really look at across the board, what drives businesses, it's always about the numbers. I want to welcome my co-host here, Johnny Hernandez, while we tackle this idea of why, you know, we've been talking about mindfulness and spirituality for almost a year and a few months now, and this study that just came out blew my mind. So, folks, listen to this. Absenteeism versus presenteeism. Absenteeism, which is something that companies focus on, and Johnny can probably talk a little bit about that in just a minute, you know, keeping people healthy cost companies an average of $1.5 billion a year. Now, that's a big number. But here's a bigger number. Presenteeism, which, by the way, is not even a word, presenteeism cost a company per employee 57.5 days a year. So that comes out to $1,500 billion a year that it's costing companies across the U.S. That's amazing, Johnny. I mean, when I read that study, I was like, wow, talking about a report that just really says, hey, this ain't rocket science, folks. Your people just aren't engaged at work.
Well, you know, the crazy thing about it is, people are starting to say, okay, well, it's the millennials, it's the workforce. No, the issue is it's the leadership. It's disengaged leadership. You know,
yep.
It goes back to, if you go out and find a leader in any organization, say, what's the one thing you wish you had more of? And they say, well, I wish I had more time. Well, it goes back to anything. When it's your personal, professional life, you know, it's the whole Stephen Covey four quadrant space is where are you spending that time? And where they're not spending the time is what they call the not urgent, but important space. So when it comes to your employees, it may not feel urgent that you're making the time to go and spend with them, whether it's through a weekly one-on-one, monthly one-on-one performance review, whether it's saying, hey, let's just grab lunch together. They're not making the time to do that because guess what? The britches are on fire dealing with something else. And the craziness of it is that's why you have disengaged employees. It's because you have not disengaged leaders from the standpoint of the business, from the people. And the saddest part about all of this is any great leader, find any leadership book out there published at any time worth its salt, and it all hinges on one thing, people. And it's when we focus on the things and those items and those outcomes, and whether it's, and in some cases, keep in mind, it's not even about chasing the mighty dollar or getting promoted. It's about hanging on to the job you got, which it's all about, you know, working the long hours and doing whatever it takes that the boss needs and not taking the time to invest in your people. And those numbers are staggering to me. Not surprising.
Huge.
Staggering to me.
Huge.
Come
I
on.
Mean, I had to look at the number. How do you say 1,500 billion? I was like, is that incorrect? Is that supposed to be 1.5? No, it's $1,500 billion. And so this study, by the way, which is done by EHS, it's a human resources portal. If you go to the show, you can see the link. I actually put it there because I wanted you to see that because, you know, the disparity of what they're trying to say is that each employee on average misses about 4 days in being absent, calling sick. Folks, Americans are the worst at taking sick leave and taking vacation. So that's not the problem here. The problem here is that what, as Johnny was saying, is that they're there. At the end of this article, I got to read what it says at the end of this article because it's very powerful what it says here. And this is kind of the basis of where Johnny and I have focused our respective companies and the work that we do. This is what it says, quote, everyone at some time hides behind their public face, and behind is a private face screaming for help. It will affect us all at some point in our lives, and we need to be open with ourselves, family and friends, and coworkers when we are struggling, and we need to feel confident we can approach our manager or human resources for a department for support. Everybody hides behind their public face, and all along the private face is screaming for help. And you know, then at the end of this quote is probably the most important part, is can they feel confident that they can approach a manager or a human resources professional for support? And I think this is kind of where our world has come full circle in terms of understanding the truth of the most important person in our business. You know, I think it's moved. It's been a moving target. It's been employees. It's been customers. It's been the CEO. It's been everything. And really the truth is that if your employees are disengaged, so are your customers, because they're not getting the kind of customer service that they're looking for, because Johnny or Daniel on the floor or in the business is on the phone. You know, have you been, Johnny, I don't know if you experienced this, but I've actually been in a retail store where the employee was on the phone when I was looking for help. Have you seen that?
It's what I think is fascinating is, well, we see it all the time. I mean, you and I had a conversation not too long ago, and we were talking about e-commerce. And the conversation was, so I do a lot of consulting calls with major retailers and investment firms. And for the longest time, the concern has been, is e-commerce going to put brick-and-mortar retailers out of business? And I would admit to you that e-commerce isn't going to do that. The brick-and-mortar retailers are going to do it themselves.
Right.
And what's happening is it's exactly what you said. It's when, you know, it's especially in an environment where, let's say, there's reduced margins out there in so many retail industries today. You look at the clothing industry struggling. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on. You can take your pick of just about any industry. And, you know, you walk in, and the same young man or woman that's supposed to be ringing you out at the cash register or helping you in the customer service area is also the receptionist, the same person that's answering the phones, customer complaints, and everything else. And so you're getting very little, right? Or it's the employee that when you go out to interact with on the sales floor, it's a reduced staff, or they're carrying the walkie-talkie or the phone. And it's just that level of those employees are, one, they're overwhelmed. Not necessarily overworked, but they're overwhelmed because they're wearing multiple hats when they're in the environment. There's leadership not present on the floor, and or there's not leadership present in their day-to-day work activities. How often is it that you speak to employees, and when's the last time you had a performance review? They say a what? Or one-on-one with your leader, and they're like, one-on-one with the leader? What?
Who is the leader?
When they came into work. Right. They hang out in the manager's office most of the time while I'm out here, and if I need them, I call them, and they come up and help. And that's what drives so much of this disengagement. You know, we talk about the absenteeism, and that's really what it comes down to. And then you wonder why. And then the cost of turnover is just sick when you stop and think about, well, we always blame it on, well, the employee wasn't a good fit. No, let me remind you, leaders, as I remind myself so often in my other businesses, it's that if an employee doesn't make it in your work environment, it's one of two reasons. One, you either made a mistake in the hiring process, or you didn't invest enough time developing and growing that employee. In both cases, those are a reflection of the leader and the leader's decision-making process and or decision-making as to how they spend their time, who they're spending their time with, and even as simplistic as what's the interview process look like, and even the what's gapping so much in businesses today is a new employee orientation. In many cases, if they see the boss, it may be in a third interview, but then they have someone else running and setting the expectations for the business. And it just at any given time, it's so difficult. And you go out and you don't have to ask millennials. Go out and ask your kids. Ask your 16, 17-year-old about their leader and their boss and see what they say. And in some cases, the great leaders, you hear it all the time. Oh, my gosh, it's awesome. He or she's always out on the floor. they're high-fiving up. They sat down and they talked to me about, you know, what was going on in my life. They asked me what I aspired to do. Unfortunately, that's the exception. And when that becomes, when that starts becoming the rule, for all of us, for all leaders, regardless of our chronological age, that's when you start to see transitions. And so in terms of the whole e-commerce thing, I'll tell you what, brick and mortar stores, we'll put ourselves out of business well before e-commerce does it. If we don't, and I'm not going back to the whole exceptional customer service, I'm talking about focusing on your employees. And if you have engaged employees, if you have engaged leaders with their employees, in return, your customers will be engaged, going back to what you were saying just a little bit before, Daniel. The experience is much different when you have an employee that feels like they're valued.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This is a really huge paradigm shift for corporations, for companies. Because the article goes to suggest that companies need a business culture where employees are not, listen to this, not penalized for reporting health and personal issues. I don't know about you, Johnny, but I you wouldn't catch me doing that. Oh, excuse me, I'm going through a divorce. We don't talk about it. Oh, and of course, going through divorce is very taxing on an individual, let alone the you know, if you think they don't bring it to work, it's impossible. You know, or someone that's going through an addiction problem, or so. I mean, how do you bring that stuff up? I mean, he's suggesting. It's funny because the guy, the actual doctor, PhD, that's talking about, his name is Batman, and for a minute though, I thought I was reading the wrong article because he kept saying, "Well, Batman said, what Batman got to do with this?" that's his name, Batman. And I said, I can't take him serious. His name is Batman, you know, poor guy. Anyway, so Batman suggests that we got to find a way. So it is hilarious. So I hope everybody that's listening in will go and read the article if they're serious about taking their company to the next level. You know, it looks like we have a caller. I'm going to bring someone into the conversation. I don't know who it is, but it's 714-336-1148. If you're available to take the call, I'm going to bring you in. If not, you're probably just listening in. But I'm going to go ahead and unmute it and see if you want to jump in on the conversation. Hello, you're live. Yeah, probably just listening in. All right. So anyway, 347-677-1965. So all this to say, because we've gone through 15 minutes, all this to say that the culture of our companies, this is what I was saying last year, Johnny, when I did the presentation in New York City to those 1,500 professionals, when I said, if you feel that feelings, soft skills are not valuable in the workplace, this study in itself mutes that. And the culture of the companies in the world, not just in the U.S., will have to make a change. Now, here's the positive note. For those of you out there that are numbers crunchers, that think on the opposite side of the brain that I do, that are going, well, this is not going to make us any money, you need to go back to Harvard or wherever you came from and figure out where this $1,500 billion is going, because if I was the board of directors or the stockholder and you were the CFO handling my company, I'd have to say, hey, $1,500 billion? Why is that happening? Right? I remember, Johnny, I remember not, you know, many, 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 many years ago being in a boardroom that you were in with me, getting yelled at by the CFO of this major billion-dollar company because I was losing $1 million a month in my business. And here I'm talking about $1,500 billion. I can't even say the number. So the reason I bring this up, folks, and I'm driving this home, because if there's not a case for mindfulness in the workplace, then there is not a case. This is saying this is real. Your people are playing on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and they're not working. And it's not because they don't want to work. It's they are overwhelmed as much as you are. And so mindfulness begins to play a huge part. And this is what I was saying last year at that convention, and that I'll be saying again this year in August in Dallas at a similar convention, that we have got to embrace the idea of mindfulness. Now, folks, I do have to tell you this. Don't freak out. Mindfulness doesn't mean religion. Mindfulness doesn't mean spirituality. Mindfulness, very simple, means being aware of the present moment, taking a deep breath and slowing yourself down long enough to get present in the moment, to recognize that you're in front of a computer or that you even drove to work and you're in front of a computer. And so, Johnny, you know, one of the things that I get excited about, and I didn't say anything about it on the shows, but I've been working on my book proposal for the last few days and really excited about it. It's a new book that I'm handing over to my agent.
Daniel, did you say days?
No.
Okay, great.
No. anyway, so I may have. I have to go back and listen to it. So Dancing in the Chaos is the name of the book, Dancing with the Chaos. And this it's my story of being caught up in the corporate world, leaving the corporate world, coming back to the corporate world, leaving again, and then realizing where my peace and tranquility comes from, and then waking up 5 years later and realizing that the world was more open to the conversation about mindfulness. And so, Johnny, I mean, let's talk about solutions. How – I think this is – that right now, this is an individual thing. Companies – some companies are embracing it. Some are not. You got the more forward-thinking companies like Google and all of those West Coast technology companies that really believe in it, Facebook. And the further you go east, the less engaged they are in mindfulness because it still, I think, has some sort of a stigma.
You know, I think that one of the things, we spend hours and hours just having these conversations, and one of the things that I would challenge all of us to think about is take off the work hat for a moment and put on just the human hat. There are some very common denominators amongst all of us. We all need to feel valued. Now, valued can look and feel like a lot of different things, but regardless, we all need to feel valued. We all need to feel loved. And, you know, you take a look at a lot of the studies on homeless people, what happens to them in the trajectory of when they begin, when they first start out homeless, how long it takes, which is approximately a year, before all of a sudden, even these folks who went out and did tests, perfectly, you know, good job, so forth, so on, went out and did these documentaries or these case studies, they went out and over about a period of year, even when they had another life that they knew they were going to go back to, it takes about a year of living homeless before all of a sudden, mentally, you start transitioning and changing almost to the form of the beginning of mental illness, and it's all due because of lack of feeling loved, being avoided, people pushing you away. So when I use that as a polarized example, because people do have a natural ability to feel valued, to feel loved, to feel appreciated. And when you stop and say mindfulness, mindfulness is in a way, it's how people, and it's not about go to self-protection, it's about how they find peace within themselves. And when you talk about meditation, if you think about what is meditation in its most pure sense, it's about you emptying out your mind for you, and it's just the cleansing of your spirit, your thoughts, and becoming more one with yourself. Now, if you could stop and say that, you see all these organizations beginning to offer programs, let's just say like meditation, like yoga, things of that nature. If you step back and just say, I've never done any of this, I don't even know where to begin, my employee surveys or viewpoints or feedback, all of that thing says that I'm not a great place to work. Where do I begin? Where you begin is you have to remember that you're employing human beings and put yourself in their shoes and say, as a human being, what are those things I need most? And it's those things that I just mentioned. And keeping that in mind, what are you doing to foster and to enable the type of environment where people feel valued, where they feel appreciated? You can have a very intense and high-pressure environment and still have all those things. As a matter of fact, in a very intense and high-pressure environment, that's exactly where you need them most. because it's in those situations that if an employee feels like they're truly cared about and that they're part of the mission, they don't have to be part of the strategy. But if they clearly understand what their role is in the tactical execution of the bigger picture, whether you're a company with 3 employees or 300,000 employees, if they feel like they're truly part of the tactical execution of the organization, they're getting frequent updates, they're clear what the minimum expectations are, there are reward systems and recognition systems in place that are consistent and they're predictable, and above all, they have a direct supervisor and a supervisor one level above that that on a regular basis communicates with them in a way that's above and beyond just covering financials and numbers. And I will tell you, I've said this on the show before, and it wasn't always well received by everyone, but I will share with you one of the positions I had in one of the organizations I worked at previously. I had a number of this was a U.S.-based organization. I had, it was 6 to 8 directors that covered the entire United States. When we would do their employee reviews, they were a 2-day review. And the review consisted of 2 different elements. The first day, and they were always in a very comfortable environment. So let's just use an example. Let's just say New York City, Central Park. And myself and that director would spend an entire day, and I'd say bring your walking shoes, an entire day walking through Central Park, stopping at coffee shops, and talking about him or her as a leader. And I'm sorry, him or her as an individual, as a person. We talk about their spouse, their children, their passions, their hobbies, what they, believe it or not, what they wanted to do when they grew up, even if it wasn't to stay with the company that we currently work for. We spent an entire day just on the individual. The second day is when we got into the meat and potatoes, Daniel, of their professional life, how they were leading, where their employees were at. And ultimately, we'd spend maybe 30 minutes on their performance review because we had such a rhythm in which we interacted and spoke that there was never any surprises, and they would lead me right down to that was always the quickest part of it. So I'm not submitting to you that my approach was the best approach. What I'm submitting to you is it was consistent, it was predictable, and my leaders knew that I was well aware that my success was entirely dependent on their ability and their understanding of what the job was. And I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, so I have to treat my people well, otherwise I'm just going to flounder. And I think if we all stop and maybe look at it that way and keep in mind we're employing human beings and look at it most rudimentary element of it, it really is that easy. And then, right, there's guys like you and I. Hire Daniel and Johnny, Daniel and or Johnny, and we'd love to come into your organization or work with you as an individual and help you with it. Because it's the most, I get more enjoyment out of working with leaders in this space than any other space, Daniel, and I know you do too.
Oh, yeah, when they're ready for it. So, folks, again, I want to encourage you to call in, 347-677-1965. Weigh in on this conversation, and, you know, it's important. And I don't think that this conversation is falling on deaf ears as it used to even 5 years ago. I think today, maybe because the millennials are driving this from inside, the need to have connection to, I think the numbers in the high 70s, it's 72 to 75% of our waking hours are spent at work, which doesn't leave a whole lot of time considering that you got to sleep and that you have, you know, you need time for yourself and your family. And we owe it to our employees. We owe it to the people who drive the business to find that balance. I mean, I saw something last year that blew my mind. I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but it was a very well-known company. And I was being brought in to speak on mindfulness and, you know, talk about how to create a sense of calmness or peace and tranquility within that big company. And we were walking in the front door, and in the car, there was this guy passed out. And I looked in there, and the gentleman who was with me, who was also a high-level executive, I said, "Who's that?" You know what he said? "That's the CEO." This is I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but I'm talking about a major company, a brand that everybody knows. And the CEO was in the car sleeping. And I thought to myself, this is why we need balance. He shouldn't have to sleep in his car. He should not have to sleep in his car. I want to give you guys a little bit of a treat. I'm going to read a little bit of what I've been writing because it has to do with what Johnny just said about being human. It reads, each world paradoxically lacks what the other has. People in the corporate world tend to forget that they're human beings with other humans working for them. In the spiritual world, humans get lost in the astral dimensions, forgetting that we are all here on earth as physical beings. The truth is that until we leave this human plane of existence, we are all subject to human conditions for living, such as emotions and experiences. In order for us to live from a place of material and spiritual abundance, we need to strike a balance between material success and spiritual awareness. And you can change the word spiritual to mindfulness if that makes you feel better. But at the end of the day, this whole study basically says we've got to get better at being human. And we've got to get better at letting people know that it's okay to come tell me that, you know, you're going through a breakup or a divorce or a bankruptcy or whatever it is. If we expect those people who are privy to the human condition to be productive for us. And this is a message, Johnny, that I'll be delivering again in Dallas in August to some high-level executives to say, hey, here's the stats. I mean, hey, if Batman says it,
right on, dude.
If Batman says it, it's true. I know, I'm going crazy. All right, Johnny, we got a couple minutes. Anything you want to say as we wrap this up?
The only thing I would want to add is that first of all, I love reading the stuff you write, Daniel. It's always inspiring. But I think that the humility and the willingness to show vulnerability are two of the most beautiful and wonderful characteristics that a leader could exhibit. And spend time there. Spend time meditating on it. Spend time praying on it. Spend time talking to your significant other, your spouse, about it, because it's one of the most admirable characteristics of a leader. And I think your word said it just beautifully, Daniel. But great show this week. I'm looking forward to next week, as always. And thanks so much, and have an awesome week, everyone.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.